Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I love Fitz coming in hot. I do. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't want it any other way. I really
no,
would.
No, and I think that we need to raise the bar for how many times we cause him to crash his vehicle. Because only two today
airbag.
Coming in. Yeah, good. An airbag take is what it's called. Something that's just so ridiculously outlandish that Bob Fitzgerald careens into the center divide. We got a two-car crash on westbound 92. Fitz has done it again. So airbag takes. Let's see how many times we can get Fitz to crash his car in a day.
Fake internet crap.
This may qualify. I'm sitting here thinking about Steph's age and his stamina to do what he's doing. But then I think about LeBron and what he's doing at his age and how much, do I dare say, harder he's had to work and not getting fat, stodgy, and looking like Hercule. I mean, which one impresses you more? Or is it, it's LeBron because he's bigger and that requires more to stay in shape and he got the yolks? Or what Steph's doing at 33 like he has in win forever? It's just, I don't know which one mesmerizes me more. I'm leaning towards Bron, but the more I keep seeing Steph do this, I'm like, is it Steph? I don't know.
I'll tell you what, Goo, I'll give you an answer in a second. You're listening to 95.7 The Game. You really are. And KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. Yeah, too much going on here. Now, instead of
you
laughing,
really
maybe you
are.
Can jump in.
Kyle's going to help.
I think we made
that one.
Go ahead and save it, Spadoni. Put it on with the other 72 that I botched. I don't care. I don't care.
I love the tone, though, dear. The tone was great.
Oh, my God. My
you going to let me do Fremont Bank, or are you going to blame me when Fremont Bank calls us and says they haven't gotten their mentions?
Full service banking, you really are. You really are Fremont Bank.
You know what?
No compromises, Fremont Bank. Thank you for that. You really are.
If I threw you off, my bad, dog.
You know what, Goo? And I was going to say I'm more impressed with Steph Curry, but you know what? The hell with it now. I'm not. Forget it. I'm sick of it. I'm more impressed with Steph Curry, Goo, because he's 6'3", and LeBron's 6'7". So LeBron's 260. I mean, you can make a case that there's never been a player – let me, how do I want to put this?
Because I'm feeling
there's never been a player at his disadvantage that's been as dominant as he's been. No. So, you know what I mean?
That's a walk-off.
Well, no, it isn't because we got six more minutes yet. So anyway. By the way, and you know what? I hope Fitz is listening because he was wrong to start. He says, here's the dumbest statement made that Wiseman – was going to get beaten by Embiid. That's not a dumb statement. Is it too obvious? Yes, but it also came on the heels of me giving the mailman credit for saying, you know, it's hard to know, are you doubling on one dribble? Are you doubling on the catch? Are you doubling right away?
Be it's better at your job.
Time. I'm done. Talk, Guru. Seriously.
I've been talking, but hey, you feel how you feel. I think it's LeBron from this standpoint, Dibs. When you're that big, you could fall off more. You could fall off easier. One non-workout, a couple workouts, and you slack up the summer. Then you look like the old man. This dude, I know he's hurt, but he hasn't skipped a beat, and he's as much the Lakers as anybody. So just from that perspective, it takes more to maintain all that physique LeBron has, and that's why I'm gonna give it to Bron. No slight at Steph. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, to me, what Steph's done with his body is as impressive, if not more impressive, than what LeBron has done with his. LeBron took an already muscular build as a 17 or 18 year old and turned it into an absolute Adonis. Steph Curry went from being the quote baby-faced assassin with bum ankles. And I was watching, I was telling Kyle earlier before the show, I was watching a six-minute highlight package of the Kansas-Davidson game from his sophomore year. He's just a little kid in an undershirt floating around. He went 9 of 25 from the floor in an Elite Eight game, had 25 points. He was unbelievable. But you look at what he was there physically to what he is now, even from an ankle standpoint. He sprained his ankle the other night. And, we should sit him, baby wrap, bubble wrap, bubble wrap.
Yeah.
No, instead he comes out and almost scores 50 in a road win over Philadelphia. So what he's done to his body, I think, is underrated because he doesn't have the same, you know, sculpt and the same muscular chisel. Yet he's gotten stronger, and his ankles in particular are stronger to the point where he shook off that rolled ankle, didn't miss a beat, and this 30-plus points a game streak that's at 11 looks to be continuing into the future.
Look at the body.
Well, he didn't show any ill effects last night. There's no way you watch that game and say he must have sprained his ankle a day ago. Like
a tweak. It was nothing.
They're playing
every other night. This is what I love. It's like you guys said yesterday, every other night is a game. We've done this all season. I'm shamed on both of you. Disappointed in both of you. We've done the terrible 12, the fantastic 10. They got 14 left. Like, what's 10 and 4? Dibs, they're 7 over if they go 10 and 4 to 6 over. If they go, would that be enough then to your MVP portfolio if the Warriors are then 6 game over, maybe at the 9th or 8th seed? Then you might have something. They'd call that a Hail Mary. Shout out Tupac.
Hail Mary, come with me. Da 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 da.
Boy,
come on, Goo.
Yeah, we need a rap podcast. Yeah, but go ahead.
Goo, have they won 10 of 14 at any time this year so far?
Has Steph had? You know what, my friend? No, but has Steph had 11-game run like he's on now? A bender.
No, but what's their record? Well, then maybe they'll continue at the 6-5 pace that they're on during this 11-game stretch. That's what I mean. I mean, he's been unbelievable, but that doesn't guarantee a win. Now, I know they're the schedule lightens
up. 6-2 last 8. Yeah.
What do you mean?
They're 6-2 in their last 8 games.
Oh, I got you. So it means he scored 30-plus or more the first 3 games that they lost, right? But 6 of 8 is 6 of 8. I'll give you 6 of 8. Hey, when we come back, we got to talk a little bit about the man who actually won that game last night for the Warriors. Sure, Steph Curry had a little something to do with it, but it's about time to give the real MVP, at least of last night's game, his due. I'm going to tell you who that MVP was from last night's game because I don't think you're going to know. I don't think you're going to know. But when I tell you, you're going to say, huh. That's very interesting. That's what we're talking about when we come back on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steinie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Is there any reason we can't tape the legal? Spadone, Kyle, Dibs. Is there any reason why we just can't tape the legal?
Well, we can.
Let's do it.
But that's a Ray Ratto thing in DRK. I don't want to like steal their thunder, you know.
Because it either gets butchered or when I do it, Dibs gets pissed because it's not done at the right time. So the legal has turned into one of the most stressful things of my week.
Why don't you just print it out and tape it like in your office?
I have it there, but it was down today because, like I said, I painted and I brought the piece of paper down. Why can't we just use Ratto's?
No, no.
You're listening
no.
to 95.7 no. The Game.
And God forbid one of you guys pick up the slack on that.
Well, I mean, if you ask me to help you move, I can help you move. If you're asking for me to, I mean, get a cue card.
Read for you?
I mean,
I'm going to be quiet.
No, I can't. I can't. Can't stop, won't stop. Hashtag P. Diddy.
All right. I just had to get that off my chest. I'm sure coming up at 1 o'clock. Make sure to tune in at 1 o'clock to see what happens with the legal.
Choke artist.
All right. You know, there's a lot of Steve Kerr haters out there. They need to realize, and Bob Fitzgerald doesn't use this word a lot, idiots. But if you think Steve Kerr's a bad coach, you're an idiot. How about that? I said it. Think about what happened last night's game. You have Joel Embiid, who's an MVP candidate and also a Defensive Player of the Year candidate, supposedly, along with Ben Simmons. And in the fourth quarter of a game, what the Warriors did made Joel Embiid a liability at the offensive end and at the defensive end. Now, why don't we talk about that for Steve Kerr? I mean, they defended Joel Embiid in the fourth quarter and had him flustered and flummoxed the way they were defending him by changing it every time. Then on the offensive end, they put him in a spot where he had to be out on the floor. He didn't want to go, and they abused Embiid at that end. It's like, hello, Steve Kerr kind of knows what he's doing. MVP Steph Curry last night.
I like that. Even though by the very nature of him not playing and disqualified from the award, but I won't go Captain Semantics on you because I like where you went. You went outside the box there by choosing a non-player to be the P in MVP. What's the deal with Steiny picking a C to be the P? But you're right, Steiny, and the reason why people don't see it or say it, it's because they don't understand it until a Bob Fitzgerald, a.k.a. Bobby Fitz, comes on and spells it out. Because you can see that Embiid didn't play well. That's NBA fan 101. And you can see that the matchups maybe didn't favor him in that game. That's NBA 201. When you get to the 301 and the 401, the upper grades, the graduate courses, and the real minutia of our league, that's where you start to break down what Bob was explaining about the double screen and how you made it so Embiid had to run out naked and afraid. Hashtag Discovery Channel, one of my favorite shows.
Great show.
Very underrated, Naked and Afraid. But that's what they rendered Joel Embiid. He was shivering under a poor tarp with no food.
Yeah, it was like two great
Bugs
Bobby Fischer,
too,
my guy.
Always.
Two great chess players. And Doc Rivers, man. Doc used to be up there for me, guys. He's slipping a little bit. But that game turned with what you just talked about, Steiny. And I'm on record. I mean this. I think you'll back me up, Steiny. But if you don't, I'm okay. If I had a coach to, you know, coach a game for my life on the line, it would be Steve Kerr. Not only does he have the pedigree, he knows what Jordan was like. He knows what Pop was like. He's been coached by two of the field, Jordan, and he's shown us that he knows what he's doing when push comes to shove. Game 7 against Houston. My point is, I was like, why is Embiid out there? It wasn't because Philly wanted to do that. Kerr and their calls and the defense made him that liability that you speak of, and that's when the game changed, and it was ugly at the end. It was like that bull in a china shop. That's what Embiid, like, give me ball. No matter who it was like, oh, this is over. It's a wrap, dude. It's a wrap. This is a wrap.
No doubt. The other thing, you think people are going to be upset when Steph doesn't win the MVP because he's probably not going to. What happened? A bigger issue with Warrior fans is going to be, what happens if he's not first team all NBA? That's going to be, to me, would be more egregious because, I mean, you could theoretically say, well, Lillard, Harden, Doncic, Jokic, you know, they go by position. And, all, you know, I'm just saying, do I think he deserves it? Absolutely. But, oh, Giannis, I didn't even put Giannis in there. Just, I want to brace Warrior fans. That could be coming next. And that would be way more egregious to me than if he doesn't win the MVP. But I just thought I'd throw that one out there.
I don't know if Warrior fans will feel it that same way because first team, all NBA, I don't think has nearly the same weight, obviously, as MVP. it's more important, I think, to Warrior fans where he would fall in the MVP race as opposed to whether or not he's first team all NBA. That's my own personal sense. And I'd also put, oh my God, I don't believe what I just saw as I go Jack Buck on you looking at our boss in the background of the Zoom
I
in shorts.
I thought that was him. Man. I was going to say something earlier.
I'm channeling my inner Jack Buck. I don't believe what I just saw. The naked lower leg of a Nahigian. That's a sight for sore eyes. I'll be honest. I miss those games. But I think it's more important to the Warriors that Steph Curry be the scoring champ as opposed to first team all NBA.
Thank you.
He's got that now. And I'll say this, though. Let's keep it real. We don't know what the next 14 hold, you know, for the team and Steph, Steiny, and Dibs. But I'll say this. This run, this bender that he's on, Steiny, he surpassed, I believe, Dame and Luka. Now, and Dame being out, it's almost like a recency bias. He got hurt at the wrong time, Dibs. I could be wrong, but right now, the stamp of Steph Curry is on the league, and you can't ignore it. Dame started out hot. Now Portland, you know, still in their spot. But I just really think if he keeps this up remotely close, that all NBA, I get MVP. You got to put him on there. You got to.
Yeah. 888-957-9570, the number. If you want to weigh in on all the things we're talking about, we're talking on a variety of topics involving Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And I was wondering if in a couple minutes you guys would like to try to have some fun with me. I've put together some data. Dib said something in our pre-show meeting that I thought was very interesting and dovetail with that thought. I put together some numbers. I'll explain it all in a sec. But let's go to Edgar in San Jose. He's been waiting for a while. What's up, Edgar?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, Steph, man, what can I say about him? He's the best player in the NBA right now. Shout out to Bobby Fitz. He's got the best three ball. Yeah, shooting off the dribble. But, you know, Fitz talked about his defense, you know, is not that good. But I think he's gotten above average for his position, you know. And
he tries.
The way he's going to the – yeah.
He tries.
The way he's going to the cup now, he's, you know, Clay's got that shortbread and the long loaf. I think he's kind of – when he goes in there, it's like the English muffin, man. He's in there and he puts pool players to shame with that, you know. And but as far as his MVP thing – I think it would behoove the NBA to get him in there because, you know, the kids look at him and the way he carries himself and his stature. The other guys you mentioned, they're huge. You know, they're genetically superior. You know, and
all right, that's Edgar. What was the English muffin thing? I thought I think it was pretty good. I just didn't get it.
Shortbread, long loaf, muffin. Yeah. I don't know.
Nooks and crannies, I think. It's all about nooks and crannies when you talk about the English muffin.
I got
I remember
you.
That when that Thomas's English muffin jelly. Hit the scene in like the mid-70s. It was like, damn, I'm sorry, Toast, but you and I are going to have to spend some time apart. This English muffin, you put the butter in there and you watch it sluice down the canyon and pool up, and you get that jelly. I like the apricot jelly back then. You give me just a spoonful of apricot jelly. You dip it on the English muffin, and you use the backside of the spoon, and you just cram it deep into all
those
crevices.
Hey, don't forget
crevices.
The microwave for 15 seconds to melt.
Don't sleep
butter.
On the butter and cinnamon combo, too.
Cooper, I've never seen these two boys behind the glass get so excited as I start talking nooks and crannies.
Look, I want to talk crumpets, all right?
Hello, crumpets, you're on.
Guru, you can't put bread in a microwave. It gets all soft.
No, I try to ignore that.
What about
your
Eggo waffles? I do that all the time. Take it out the toaster, put the butter on, and sometimes it got a little rough. They put it in for like 10 seconds. The tin is melted and hot.
If it's been in the. Oh,
God.
You want to grab that dip?
Get this.
Hold on, Kyle. I'll get it. Hello. Hi, tell me. I know, Auntie. I wouldn't do that either. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, okay. The toaster's on the phone, Guru.
I do the mark. Take it out the toaster.
You do realize,
the microwave.
You do realize, Goo, if you toast bread and then put butter on that toasted bread, you can watch the butter melt.
Yeah, but I'm finicky. I like my butter on every nook and cranny of that waffle or the English muffin. It's just,
Because the more you know.
Don't hate on my chef skills now. Don't hate.
Man, yeah. Chef Boyard don't over
if
there.
I'll tell you what I do to top ramen. That'll be on Friday when I can do to that. Yeah.
I bet you put an egg in it. Do you put an egg in it?
I don't eat eggs.
Oh, yeah. Egg and ramen is.
That's great.
Yeah. That's genius. Yeah, that's. I call that a whole week. In college, that's what I call. I was like a luxurious breakfast when you get that egg in there, and maybe just a little bit of Tapatio to top it off.
I used to date in my girls, or if I was in a relationship, would eat eggs with the ketchup or something, and I'd really reevaluate everything. Like, eat that, huh?
So you don't eat eggs, huh? Like, you don't have an omelet. You're a pancake.
Can't
guy.
Stand the side of it.
Goo, you don't put cheese in your ramen, do you?
How did you know? I grate it, though, Kyle. I grate it. Drain the juice out the ramen, and then grate some cheese. Put
and
that
then
in
you
that
microwave
bad boy.
It.
No microwave.
Oh, thank
no
God.
Microwave.
Yeah, hot sauce. We call that goulash. Yeah, the guru goulash.
The guru goulash. I mean, I don't want to offend you, but you can go ahead and withhold the invite to your birthday dinner coming up next month. I think I'm busy.
Hey, by the way, for those who just joined us, our boss stepped into the Zoom picture. That's the first time I'd actually laid eyes on him in about a year.
Right.
It's been a great year, by the way. Has he lost a few? Has Nahidi lost a few? He looked good.
Yeah.
He looked good. I'm dead serious.
Well, you don't have to go that far, unless it's a contract year for you. I mean, he looked all right. He looked better. But my takeaway, Goo, is that the old office dress code is now out the window.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
shorts like for life, bro. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going shorts 365.
Yeah,
hasn't been in a year and doesn't even have the courtesy to wear pants.
Wow.
It's unbelievable stuff.
Oh, goodness gracious. Let's get dizzy. Literally, let's get dizzy from Hayward on the phone. What's up, Dizzy?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you guys doing today, man?
Oh, dynamite.
Oh, man, I just want to stop. Well, actually, before I start, whoever says Steve Kerr ain't the best coach out, you sound crazy as hell, and you're an idiot. As a Steph Curry, man, he's absolutely incredible, man. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I understand that if your team isn't that good, you shouldn't win the MVP. But this is, shoot, if he does this for the next 8 games, I don't care what anybody says, you got to give him the MVP. And overall, the Warriors are playing good basketball. I really like everything that I'm seeing, the defense and everything. One last thing, Philly fans chanting MVP and standing up and applauding for Steph Curry. It says it all, man. He's the freaking GOAT. And I'm going to leave the way I left the last time I talked to you guys, man. That boy Curry out here.
Yeah. When you're looking at the most respectful, the most knowledgeable fans in the country, you go to Philadelphia. You absolutely go to Philadelphia.
Right.
Wrong.
They booed Santa Claus. Come
well,
on.
He deserved it. He didn't have a good year. A terrible year that year, Santa Claus. Oh, come on. You got it. You got it.
Cheered when
credit.
Michael Irvin got hurt
Thank
on
you,
their.
That,
their
there's
death
a gray
platform.
Area there. There was
there
a gray,
is no
area
gray
there.
What was
there
it?
A gray area.
There is no gray.
Let me go back and look at the footage because there was something. Yeah, no.
Stop.
Nah. Yeah.
That could be the most despicable act by
stop.
Fans ever.
Oh,
I'm soccer, man.
The guy came down a flight of stairs.
That is a disgusting act.
In the back. I would say that's a little worse.
Probably the most overrated fan base in the country. Just, thriving on your own. Passion and negativity does not equate to a great fan base, And so many of you left and have never gone back. And yet, I claim the fan base. You won't even go back and visit.
I don't claim the fan base. I don't claim the fan base. I'm
Last
just
time
saying.
You've been to Philly.
Oh, God. I don't know. A couple years?
Well, not long. Huh? All right.
Well, did anybody go anywhere last year with the pandemic? And I was on a plane for the first time the other day. Whew, that was pretty full plane, by the way.
Were you masked up?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Good job.
Hey, by the way, I saw something on the internet today. Apparently, it was an 8-hour flight from Germany to New York, and there was this baby on the flight. wasn't even really a baby. It was like a toddler, like a 1.5-year-old, had this high-pitched squeal, apparently did it for 8 hours.
Oh.
The plane. They were interviewing people on the plane. The kid, they could not get the kid under control. Unbelievable.
No, it's brutal. It's brutal. I was on a recent flight, about a 5-hour flight, and baby made noise. I mean, a scream, not a cry, a scream for about 4 hours. Oh. And the mom had it in the baby Bjorn the entire time. It's, you know, as you know, Goo and Steiny and Spadone's got a kid. You got to mix it up.
Benny.
If it's not working and you're walking up and down the aisle in the baby Bjorn after 30 minutes and the kid is still screaming, you got to mix it up. You take the kid out, maybe face it in, maybe give him the swaddle, maybe the cuddle, the cradle, pass him to a neighbor, something. You got to mix it up. You can't just keep running screen roll, you know,
that's
play after play if you're not getting buckets.
That is
Steiny and I were at Old Ship, and it was the baby. It was like it just was born. It was so bad that it changed. Everybody was just like, lady, take it outside. Do maybe leave. Just call it in a day. But,
yeah.
Dibs, it was that crying like it was newborn. Like, are we at the hospital? I was like, whoa. I would have left, Steiny. You know, I'll never forget that one.
I thought we did. I thought we went down to Cafe Prague.
You know what? You're right.
Why was the baby at a bar?
You know, you can have a baby at a bar as long as they're not at the bar.
That's another thing.
Yeah, don't get me started.
We were like, what are we doing here?
Like breast milk on the rocks or something or what?
Wow. Nah, it was just, you know, what? Where did that come from?
Bar restaurant. What's more annoying, though, barking annoying dog in a bar restaurant or crying fussy toddler in a restaurant?
I'm going toddler.
I'm going toddler too, Dibs.
Wow, okay. I'm in the different side of the aisle. Because nowadays, we the dog owner, we feel like we can take our dog anywhere and everywhere. And I'm not talking about those with the comfort animal vests, the ones that are authentic and the ones that are not authentic.
Yeah.
I'm talking about every dog owner where in the cafe, in the grocery store, in the restaurant, that's the one that kind of gets me.
My gripe, Steiny. I'm with you, Dibs.
Back to Wiggins.
Wow. Yeah.
We haven't talked about Wiggins, Spadone.
No, we haven't. Maybe
you know what that means, though. Yeah.
Yeah, it's solid. Let me guess. He had 17 and.
Uh-oh. I gotta look. I mean, I would guess 7 of 13. For 16 points, but if we're bringing the noise, he must have had a twomp.
What do you have last night, by the way?
It's appropriate.
16?
You got to Google it.
Actually, I don't have to Google it. I could just as well guess, and it might be as accurate. I'm going to say 17.
6 of 11. He had 16 and 10
That's
boards,
it.
Though.
Pistol it in.
16 and 10, Steiny. Yep. And you know what? He was an authoritative +3.
Nice.
In your plus minus.
Nice.
He got that turnaround jumper down at the top of the key, Steiny. He get that turnaround. He going to hit it.
He'll hit it once in a while.
Keep doing it. That's all I ask for.
Yeah.
Volume.
Yeah. Hey, Dibs, you said something interesting during the pre-show meeting. We were talking about Curry and the MVP and all this kind of stuff, and it involved legacy. And I was hoping you could, if you remember it, kind of repeat what you said, because it was that if it's important for Curry to get another, whatever, title or maybe an MVP, because at that point you are then, like, you know, if he gets another MVP, then he's got three titles, three MVPs like Larry Bird. And that is a judgment you use with players to define their greatness. Am I on board there?
It's you're close enough to, I think, start the conversation, because if the NBA stopped right this second, if there was no more NBA as of right now, first of all, we'd be terribly sad because we love the association and, you know, it's a moneymaker for so many. But if you stopped it right now, Steph Curry would probably be, depending who you ask, between the 7th and 19th best player in the history of our league. Let's just ballpark it as such. But if he goes out and wins another championship or another MVP or a finals MVP or a combination of those things, I believe he has the opportunity to rise up an already elite list of greatest of all time. If you look at the LeBron MJ argument, right now LeBron's got what, five titles? He's got four titles, and he's got what, 11 appearances or something. He's gonna
I've got it
have,
all right here. Oh, I'm sorry.
He's gonna have the four? Most appearances of 4 and 7, right? In
oh, I'm sorry,
NBA finals.
Yeah, yeah. I got it wrong.
Yes, sir.
He's got four MVPs, four titles, and four finals MVPs right now.
Okay, so right now Jordan's 6-0 is better than LeBron's 4-7 or 4-8. I always forget how many. But if he gets a fifth, or if he gets another MVP, or if he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as the all-time scorer in our league, which he could do in a couple of years, well, then he starts to surge closer or surge ahead in the conversation of who's the greatest player of all time. And I think to Steph's case, already he's the greatest shooter we've ever seen in the game. I think you could get 8 or 9 out of 10 NBA experts to agree with that. But where is he in the all-time pantheon, in the all-time group of all-time greatest? And that's where these additional individual accolades help his legacy, more so than if they were to pull off an upset in some play-in game scenario.
Gotcha.
Wow.
And that, yeah, you said it exactly like you said it before the show. And the response I would give you is, I agree, but I think, like, let's just say hypothetically the Lakers win it again this year. And let's say they win it again next year. So LeBron goes 3 in a row.
Hypothetical.
And he gets some finals MVPs. I think there's still a lot of people that will never say he's better than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And I think we work with one of them.
Yeah, you can't make – and again, I love Bron. I love the story. But his career is like a movie. You don't say one movie is better than the other because it was longer, you know. But that is, you know, a feather in LeBron's cap. But at the end of the day, guys, you just can't – I don't care how many LeBron gets moving forward. Those stains of losses in the Dallas series, for whatever reason, I'll never let go of that. But it's like Terrell Owens. He never won a Super Bowl, but to me, he's arguably better than Jerry Rice or equal to. But I get you, Dibs. It's just subjective. And Steph Curry, if he gets an MVP or doesn't, I just don't think that's going to, well, for me, impact how great of a player he is. Like, Shaq has what, one MVP in his career? And to me, he's the most physically dominant species ever to play in our association. So I don't know how much weight it really, thank you guys, it really carries that Steph adds this. He changed the game, Steiny. He changed the game. How many MVPs is that worth?
Right now, if it's a 100-story building that's housing all of the NBA greats, he's on the 94th floor. He's got a great view, and he's got a fat apartment. But he doesn't have the penthouse. And right now, LeBron and Michael Jordan are having a best-of-5 rock, paper, scissors to see who that is. And I disagree with your notion, Goo, because if LeBron gets 3 more titles, if he gets 2 okay. more titles and he joins Michael with 6, well, he can look at all the finals appearances where he didn't win, which is something that Jordan couldn't do. Jordan got there and won it 6 times, but LeBron will have had an ungodly number of chips. And dare I say, if he does get to 7, let's say he wins it this year, and he wins it next year, and they win it the year after. Now he's got 4 in a row. Jordan never won 4 in a row. Now LeBron's got 7. Jordan's only got 6. It becomes the Brady versus Montana argument, where the Montana sycophants, they were holding on with dear life to the fact that Joe never lost. Joe's 4-0, and I was among them. But now Brady's got 6. Brady's working on hand number 2 in his mid-40s. The conversation is over. 7. You ready? Not 5?
The Bucks.
Call that a whole
not 6.
Yeah, we do call that a whole week.
I lose.
All right. Here's what I want to do, because this is going to get you guys involved in this. Those kind of things, we're going to take a look at some great players. And where does Steph Curry fit in with all the great players using the criteria of some of the biggest awards and some of the biggest honors you can get? I'll talk about it on the other side. And it's sponsored by Network Capital Funding.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
show today. Day after Steph Curry put on another one of his shows.
Yep.
And if you missed any of our discussion with Bob Fitzgerald earlier, you can hear it right now on the brand new Odyssey app. If you're already, if you've already downloaded the radio.com app, it's going to automatically show up as Odyssey. If you haven't, what are you waiting for? Download the Odyssey app today and get all the audio that matters to you.
That's stupid. Don't say that again.
Now, why would you do that after? I'll tell you what, that may get you in trouble with not only our boss, but his boss.
Be better at your job.
Get off the internet.
Get off of Twitter.
The very nature of the drop implies the tongue-in-cheekness of it. So it's edgy comedy. I like it, Spadone. You go ahead and keep sticking your neck out there. I like that.
Okay. We're talking about where Curry's legacy and that kind of thing. So and we're using titles, MVPs, because those are the big – let me just throw a couple things at you. We're talking most valuable players, NBA titles, and finals most valuable players. So pick a great player. We'll go with Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
How many MVPs did Kobe Bryant win?
Regular season or finals?
Regular season MVP.
I think he won probably about three or four. I'll say three. Goo.
I went two.
One. He won one regular.
Oh yeah, that was
MVP.
The one Steve Nash stole from him. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Doug.
Which means Steph Curry's won more MVPs than Kobe Bryant. How many titles does Kobe have?
Five.
And then how many Finals MVPs does Kobe have?
Two.
I think he's got three.
So I made a list of all these with the greats. Kevin Durant, LeBron, Kobe, Duncan, Shaq, KG. I can cross KG out of there. Michael Jordan, Hakeem, Bird, Magic, Kareem. And I hate to say it, but there's – Guru's going to get mad. But Curry is right there with everybody. Well, this is his pet peeve, I know. Curry's comparable to all these guys – except for one thing, they all want a finals MVP. That's the one thing on Curry's resume he's missing. You know, you look at Jordan. He won five MVPs, six titles, six finals MVPs. Bird, three MVPs, three titles, two finals MVPs. And I wonder if that's the thing. I wonder if he got one of those, the haters would be cut in half. What do you think, Goo?
I honestly do believe they would be cut in half, because what that insinuates, if you don't do a deep dive into the numbers, is that when it counts the most guys, he's not clutch or he's not there. And we've done it, Stoney, to where we were like, what was the committee thinking? Why didn't Steph get the finals MVP? But Dibs, it's a real thing. Joe Montana has it. Tom Brady has it. All the greats that Stoney just mentioned, they have it. And for whatever reason, Steph, with his three chips, doesn't have one, and it bothers me for Steph. I know he don't give a rat's behind, but I just wish that was something he would get, and that's why I'm hoping they get back to the finals, and he could add that to his resume, because that's a big one for me.
It's a big one, yeah, but if you look at the history of the NBA Finals, how many different players would you think have won an NBA Finals MVP? I would guarantee it's fewer than 50. It's probably closer to 30 different players. So if you start to do your all-time rankings and you look at most titles of all time and you look at the group of players with three or more, Steph's in there. And then you look at league MVPs, those with multiples, two or more. That's an even smaller list, and Steph is in there. Then you look at the all-time scoring list whenever he winds up. Now, he won't be in the top 10. He probably won't be a 30,000-point guy unless he plays for another 8 years, but he'll be in the top 20 or 25. And then you go to three-point shooters, and that's where he separates himself from just a star of his era who happened to win some titles and happened to win some MVPs, which is where I would put Dwayne Wade. And it's not to diminish Dwayne Wade's career, but Dwayne Wade has, I don't believe he has a league MVP or a finals MVP. He's got a couple of titles and an unbelievable career, but you would probably think of him all time as the 37th, the 42nd, 29th, somewhere in that range all time. But what Steph has done from the three-point line and overall as a shooter elevates him into a stratosphere that Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, those guys can only dream about.
Spadoni weighing in with Wade 1-1 that first year.
Gives
with Shaq,
Dallas.
But your point is still on
Thank
point.
You.
But here's what I'm saying is, like, when we talk about the greats of the game and somebody says, you know, I don't have Steph Curry in my top 10. Like that's not an insult. Like, Steph Curry.
You're talking about all time, right?
Yes. But like Steph Curry can't hold, I mean, I know they play different positions, but he can't hold a candle to Tim Duncan, for example. You know, Duncan won two MVPs. He won five titles, and he's got three finals MVPs. So, like, people sometimes who get upset that Curry's not getting enough credit, I look at it the other way and say, you guys aren't giving the greats of the game the credit that they deserve with their accomplishments. And to say Steph Curry's not a top 10 all-time player is like, he's not.
Well, where do you
if you look at it all?
No, gotcha. But I'll say this to anybody that tells me Tim Duncan is. I'll say, well, what about Kevin Garnett, Barkley, Karl Malone? And where I'm going, guys, is there's other greats at Duncan's position. But when you say Steph Curry, guys, I don't need a number. I don't need MVPs because the guy, and this is what I'm going to worth, he's changed the way the game is played. How many players can get that moniker? Michael Jordan? And if you guys can help me out, give me – Steph Curry has changed the game. And that's why he's at the top of it now in the game that he changed. How many guys do that?
Can you be more
that?
Specific about how like he changed the game?
Well, when he comes across half court, he's unguardable. The 3-point attempts a game is predicated on what he did.
So he's one
open.
Of the greatest shooters / scorers to ever play the game.
And now, real quick, Sonny, I'm not drunk. Now, with the ability of his handle and ability to get to the cup, I'm ready to go point guard. I'm ready to say I would take him. I'm ready to say that. I think he's more of a threat than Magic, Steiny.
So, Magic won more MVPs, more titles, and won three finals MVPs. But, like, that this is exactly kind of what I'm saying. You throw them out at that point and elevate Curry, who's wanting in each of those three categories. Like, how can you do that? Just because Curry can make a 35-footer and Magic and those guys never had an opportunity to shoot it?
You didn't let my point rest. And my point was just that Curry changed the game. And
you
asked me how, and then you went, no, he did. But now he's doing it to a degree, Steiny and Dibs, that, you know, you always do this to me, Dibs, and I love it. You know, you got, where's the next Curry at? High school? Is he in junior high? They have not arrived. But what I'm saying is you can't sleep, and I'm not saying you two are, on that impact. And when somebody says you are unique, how heavy that is of a compliment. He's changed the way the NBA is played. To me, there's no MVP, finals MVP that equates to that, guys.
What you're saying is accurate, but at the same time, to say that Curry's not an all-time top 10 player right now is not disrespectful when you start to rattle off names and you reach 10 pretty quickly of players with whom he can fairly be compared. But to Steiny's point, when you look at the comparative values of certain things, and to me the big ones are, for one, it's longevity. And if he plays another 5 or 6 years, which he should, and quite frankly, he should be able to play 6 to 8 years if he so desires. Maybe he wants to get to play long enough to where his young son is 12 or 13 and can be a ball boy on the bench like he was with his dad on the bench. So if he plays 8 more years and he gets into the 30,000-point club, even if he doesn't win another title, let's say he retires with 30,000 points and 3 championships. He's got 2 MVPs, and he's the all-time shootingest three-point shooter by 1,000 threes at that point. then he's up there with the big boys to what you said, Goo, about his the legacy he leaves. But at the end of it, when you compare numbers of titles, numbers of all-star game appearances, numbers of MVPs and finals MVPs, that's where he's going to have to be, not in the second tier of all-time greats, but he will be looking up at, you know, Kobe, unless he gets, you know, unless he gets five or six titles, and if they go on a second dynastic run and he's still a big part of it, even if he doesn't get a finals MVP, but he has six chips, you know, and Joey Lightyears is able to return this thing back to form, well, now he sits alongside Tim Duncan and Kobe, and he can rightly say, yeah, I may not have gotten a finals MVP, but look at my accolades.
Yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. On Odyssey Station, this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. 888-957-9570. Here's what I want to know from fans. What is your criteria for defining greatness? What is it? Is it titles? Is it MVPs? Is it finals MVPs? Is it the eye test? Is it the whole career? Is it just you as a player at your very best? Like, you know, and do you get credit for changing the game? I mean, Julius Erving, you could make a case, changed the game.
Yeah.
But
you think he gets enough credit for that?
But how does that factor into him being, that doesn't make him any greater than a player who didn't change the game. It's just, you know, it's just the game changes over time.
To me, it's a part of it, Goo. It's the main things are longevity is one, which you got to be good to play for a long time. Like Vince Carter, his longevity is part of what makes him not a top 10. He's a top 100 all-time player because he played for so long and played at such a professional level. So for me, it's longevity is one. It's accolades, MVPs, all-star games, DPOIs. It's all that. Then it's chips. Those are the three biggest, I think, prongs in this three-legged stool. And then the fourth, the smaller piece, but still important, is what you're talking about, legacy. Like the legacy left by Allen Iverson, who showed you what a 5'11 ultra-aggressive guard can be when, you know, when you're a me-first scorer. He was incredible. And Charles Barkley is an undersized 6'4", a guy who can play bully ball. His legacy, Draymond Green's legacy as a point forward who can guard 1 through 5. These are all pieces, I think, that add to the overall three-pronged picture.
And here's the other thing I would say, Goo, and listen.
There's Curry, no wrong.
Curry,
I get it, right.
Curry has been, I would say Bird. He's been like one of the three just most – crazy guys I've ever seen play basketball.
Okay.
Just like doing stuff I never even thought. But if you look at this list, when you go LeBron, well, he has a defensive presence. Kobe, he was a defensive presence. Duncan, he was a defensive presence. Shaq, he was a defensive presence. Jordan, Magic, Kareem. Like, that's got – I love Curry – that's got to be worth something. It just has to.
Yeah. And it's a component, but you know what, Stoddy? I would say this, and I don't got Steph Curry underwear on, but that wouldn't bite Curry in the butt until we had a conversation, Dibs, about, you know, great NBA defenders. Then, you know, Steph Curry's name wouldn't come up. But I don't think you take away from what he's did and his impact, even though it's 95% offense because of what he wasn't defensively, you know. And I'll say this, and I know it's so hard with other sports.
Why not?
Well, I would say why not, because defense matters less now in our game in 2021 than it ever has before. So in that, maybe it's a cop-out for Steph because – no one's playing defense, but to your point, Stein, that you've made over and over, you can't play defense. So, is, you know, all those players you named, Kobe better defender, Jordan better defender, sure.
Yeah.
Dirk Nowitzki is another guy who kind of gets a defensive pass, and yet,
even
you
Bird.
Know.
I'll give you Bird.
Yeah. I was going to throw him in there.
But here's the thing. You know, people, if rebounding is defense, then Bird was a good defender, and everybody will acknowledge Bird was a great team defender.
Yeah.
But I'm not. Believe me, I'm not saying Bird was the greatest defensive player
of all time.
Because I'm on mute,
Stoney. When it comes to defense of Steph Curry, guys, I have nothing for that. But I will say this. This is where I was going real quick with this because I love it. But if you go to other sports, guys, and you talk about the hardware, and I know I'm stating the obvious, Dan Marino, he's the best quarterback to ever do it, went to one Super Bowl. Barry Bonds got to one World Series. Didn't need – they were so great that Barkley, they didn't need the hardware, which I know helps.
Barkley. I don't know why you go to Barkley.
The round mound to rebound?
Extremely overrated. Look at the last 4 years of his career. And, you know, he had a couple of great runs in Phoenix. He was terrific early in Philly, but he's not in this conversation. He's not a top 50 player all time.
He's a study in my adolescence growing up. What Barkley did was almost what Steph Curry's doing at the point guard position. He was undersized, but he used his girth and he had hops. But I mean, we could be here all day. I know hardware is part of it, man, but there's some exceptions to the rule. How about that?
But I think that hardware helps you get from one certain point to another. And I'm not saying Robert Horry with what his seven titles or whatever God's name he has, he's not in the conversation because of hardware. To me, hardware becomes a separator where, you know, you look at LeBron sitting on four and, you know, it's too bad for LeBron that it's only four. You let one get away against Dallas. That absolutely should have been five. And, you know, you were injured against the Warriors, which would have, coulda, shoulda. Jerry West was 1-10 in the finals with the Lakers. Man. And yet he's the damn logo. So, wow. It's not the make or break, but it is something that helps you separate among the true elite of the elite.
Yeah, it's a good point, Dibs. The 415 saying, is Guru the only one that feels Steph changed the game? No, I think he changed the game. If you're talking about changing the game like an Irving
or a
Jordan. Yeah, he absolutely changed the game. But changing the game itself doesn't necessarily make you a better player than somebody else. It puts you, you know, it puts you in a league of players that did it. But, you know, I don't know. I just love talking about this because there's a lot of nuance to it, and you guys know how I feel about nuance. And at the same time, I'm telling you about Curry. You know, he doesn't have the defensive presence of a KD. That's why I'll say for a guy 6'3", there's never been a player as great as him who's been, you know, physically as underwhelming as Steph Curry in the game of basketball.
Took the Reggie Miller blueprint and took it to a whole nother level as far as, you know, Reggie was coming up now in, let's say he was in the Trae Young draft class, can you imagine how much he'd be putting up threes at an even more alarming rate.
They got to hate that. Yeah, Rick Barry's got to hate he didn't play with it. Go ahead, Dibs. My bad.
Well, I think
that would bother me.
Rick Barry, quite frankly, more of a mid-range guy. I think that his game would have been his game regardless. I would say Mully is one that I'd look at who's probably licking his chops because his stroke was so pure. Not that Rick didn't have a great shot from distance, but Rick wanted to take it and pretty much stick it down your throat.
Right. Right. Rick wanted to get to 18 feet.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Rick ever faded away one time in his career. Just from the, you know, the footage in my early days, Rick was in there. He was in there trying to get a meal.
Right. Right. Well, you know, you bring up a good point with Mullen. Okay, so Mullen graduates college in 86. And I think they had just implemented it in college in 80. No, he missed it. Mullen was graduated in 86, they put the line in college in 87. So, like, I always think of a guy like Mullen, of course he could shoot it, but when he got into the pros, was that really the first time he really started getting serious about practicing 23-footers? It might have been.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's another thing I like to talk about is, well, what if Mullen grew up with a three-point line when he was sleeping in gyms in the winter? Like, back then, he was working on his mid-range. He wasn't working on 28-footers, I don't think. So
it's incredible, man.
He averaged 0.5 three-point attempts as a rookie, and then 0.8 1.6, 1.2, 3, and then 1.6, 2. He never averaged more than 3.7 threes attempted per game. Imagine if you could give Mully 10 to 12 a night, how deadly he would be in our modern game.
Yeah, that's a
But not knocking Mully. I love him too, Dibs. I hear your point, but did Mully have that quickness, Steiny, to where he could yo-yo the ball and put you in the blender or be open as soon as he came past half court? I don't know, but I just know, you know, he ain't – that's why what Steph's doing is amazing, guys, is he has that Iverson cat-like quickness with the handle and then could just let it go. And what can you do as a defender? And Mully, I think we got the answer to that. Not much.
Mully played off the ball kind of like Curry does. He liked to catch it on the wings. But, no, Mully couldn't break you down 24 feet from the basket and either get to the rim or not consistently. I mean, he could do it, but that wasn't really his game.
Mully would miss less often than our very own Guru misses, unfortunately, because the Twitter's checking in, Toast Twitter, as we like to call it.
Nice.
It's not NBA Twitter, it's Toast Twitter, because the boys behind the glass put up a poll. After buttering your toast, should you then put the toast in the microwave?
Yes,
yes, no, or absolutely not. That poll, at Steiny Guru and Dibs, 1B, on Twitter. Steiny Guru and Dibs, feel free to weigh in, because your boy, Daryl the Microwave Johnson, not Vinny Johnson, Daryl Microwave Johnson.
Last
he's taking
thing,
it on
last
the chin.
Thing on that to defend myself. Now, woo! My mom, God rest her soul, Daisy Johnson, used to keep the butter in the refrigerator. Pops would like it out, so it would be soft. So we had hard butter. So when I put it off, when it come out the toaster and you put it in, it's kind of, it ain't all the way melted. So that's why I'm going to zap it in that microwave and it come out hot and every nook and cranny got that butter. Ooh. I'm getting hungry now thinking about it. With some jelly, and we had homemade jelly, Steiny. Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm a grape jelly guy, and on the other side. We got Guru's Lock of the Day. Lock of the Day coming up on the other side on 95.7 The Game. We'll be right back.